You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Friday, 14 June, Tesla shareholders approved Elon Musk's $45 billion pay package. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Mayor Krechler from Kruger International. Solid Mr. Price results, and maybe a broader look at the sector generally. Clothing, we've seen results from most of those companies coming through. Gerrit Smit from Stonehage Fleming, why we need to pay up for quality stocks. Flip side of the coin, is value investing dead? Some thoughts from me on why markets are forward-looking and how we surprise them. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Inside Pick n Pay's plan for its 21 hypermarkets. Does the big box format have a future? In Business Day, 820 million rand payday for Richmond bosses. Johan Rupert gets a rand equivalent of 69 million for his efforts as board chair. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.25%, NASDAQ 0.6% higher. Easter's mostly red, Sydney down 1/10. Tokyo, a couple of points, 0.02% lower. Hong Kong off 0.5%, and Tencent up 0.25%. Commodities mixed, gold is down at 2,322. Brent slightly up at 82.37. Platinum slightly higher at 9.58. Palladium down at 8.95. Rand is 18.42, Bitcoin 66,700, and top 40 opening call 65 points green, 0.1% higher.
MoneyWeb Now on the money, also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mia Krechler from Kruger International. Mia, I appreciate the early morning time. The Mr. Price results, I mean, they had Studio 88 in there, which of course boosts numbers. But even when you remove that, it's a challenging environment, but not a bad set of numbers. They're picking up some market share gains, and perhaps they're being a sort of cash-focused retailer has really helped. Although, as I say that, the Fashini Group did quite well with their results a week ago.
Morning, Simon. I think we can wrap up there. You nailed it on the head. I mean, those are the real benefits of a company like Mr. Price in a market like South Africa, gaining market share in a tough market, where that's really what we've been seeing over the past decade, is one retailer taking some market share away from others. And then, of course, the fact that you don't have a lot of credit. And that is really the game where Mr. Price plays, and we saw that come through their numbers quite clearly. It was also quite interesting to me to hear from them and to see that they weren't too phased about either Temu or Shein, the big online cheap retailers from China, where they said that most of their customers prefer to shop in-store. And that is also very interesting because they've opened over 280 stores in the past year, and they're planning to open 200 more this year. So a massive footprint, and as you said, took market share away. But they've been growing their profit. That's the most important when you consider all these expansions that they've done. They grow their dividend. Dividends up over 18% in a really tough environment. We've not really seen the consumer in South Africa come out of a very difficult time. Anytime lately, in contrast, the environment has actually just deteriorated for the consumer in South Africa with the high interest rates over the past couple of years, with the joblessness rate increasing, etc. So there are so many things that can go right in South Africa. We all know that. Mm. And if those things do go right, it could really help our retailers. But a tough sector nevertheless. We've seen also from some of the other retailers you mentioned, looking at the broader sector, that it hasn't gone that well, especially when we look at, for instance, Woolworths. So the two shining stars here really remain in the clothing retail space, Mr. Price and the Fashini's Group. So those are the two picks that I would go for if I had to look in this group. But nevertheless, it is a very, very tough industry to make money in.
It is a tough industry, and they manage it. But I take your point around. I mean, the consumer is, it has been tough, and it's been a tough many years. We had the pandemic, and then, of course, inflation, and then interest rates, and so on and so on. But there's a scenario out there where if we look a year ahead, we could see the prime interest rate maybe 1% lower. The MPC is targeting, says inflation will be back at 4.5%. Load shedding is easing, let's say. There is a world where it's better in a year's time. And companies like Mr. Price, companies like the Fashini Group are going to revel in those easier times.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, a couple of other things also come into play, like grants, the possible increase of grants in South Africa, and then, of course, the two-pot system with the retirement side. So those are both noted by these companies when we listen to the results, and they are aware that a lot of people will make bad financial decisions by withdrawing some of their retirement savings and spending it on clothing and on lifestyle decisions. So those very South African environment situations that we know will possibly play out in the next 12 months will also benefit these companies. And we've been seeing many people in South Africa, you know, they don't go without buying some fashion every single year. It doesn't matter how tough times get. So that is just something that has really worked well here. But if you look at the share prices, you know, it's mostly despite Fashini's group, despite Mr. Price being profitable, growing their businesses. I mean, the Fashini's group has really quadrupled over the last 5 years in size. But the share price hasn't really reflected that. So from an investor perspective, it is really hard to see what will be the catalyst for those share prices to improve. We're not seeing a big appetite from foreign investors, which has normally been sort of a interested party in many of our retailers. We've seen that being sold down over the last couple of years, as many other shares have been in the same case. So, yes, just the market itself, from an investor perspective, has changed also considerably, and if there is a sentiment change towards emerging markets with interest rates coming down in the US in the coming year or two, that could potentially boost these companies. And then, of course, what players are today in Parliament and how that influences investor sentiment towards South Africa could also help.
A lot of moving parts, but your point is well taken. South African investors are going to make poor financial decisions, two-part, and that benefits some of the retailers. It's sad, but unfortunately it's true. Mia Krechler, Kruger International, always appreciate the early morning insights.
Your money can do more when it's investing with conviction. Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to in-depth, broad market research and high-return investment strategies. So invest in a select set of companies with long-term structural growth potential with StanLib's Global Growth Fund. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm Daniel Gerrit-Smith from Stonehage Fleming. He's UK Head of Equity Management there. Gerrit, appreciate the time. A note that came into my inbox earlier in the week. Why is it not realistic to expect to get a good business at a low valuation? I got to say, it made me sit up because I know I've been caught out by this before. Your argument is, I suppose, fairly simple, is you have to pay for quality. Quality of business, quality of management.
Exactly, Simon. And the issue is that quality gives you, in a way, more assurance and less risk. And obviously, we combine that also with better growth. If you put those three aspects together, clearly one has to be willing to pay more for that than in a offering that doesn't have that. And the issue investors often have is considering perhaps an earnings multiple and make decisions on multiples rather than the detail of all of those. And if I may have the comment that most of my regrets in managing an equity portfolio is having underestimated the quality and along with that, the growth of a business, and then have not been, therefore, been willing to proverbially pay up for that. And one has to do proper homework to understand these issues and in a way consider more what we would call a PEG ratio than a PE multiple. And the PEG ratio is obviously the PE multiple divided by the medium-term growth or the compounded growth. That often helps to make a better decision.
I get your point, and I like the PEG ratio, absolutely. A PEG below one is on a nice growing business is a fantastic business. I like the point you make. It gives you more assurance and less risk, and in many senses, in the market, it's about managing risk, and risk comes in many different guises. And one of the best ways to manage out a risk is around that quality, and it then comes back to we're going to pay more. And if we're constantly fixated on that stock looks expensive, particularly in a traditional PE, we miss out on stocks. I mean, my regrets are the shares I didn't buy because they looked expensive and they just carried on going up and up.
Yeah, exactly that. And the main issues for us to understand in the business is clearly the sustainability of that growth.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've got conviction of that, clearly that gives you the assurance that you have less risk in getting a proper return. But for us, there's four basic issues to consider the quality of the business.
Mm-hmm.
They're very logical, and often the trick is to have the discipline to stay with those very logic issues. And the first one is to understand the organic growth in that business with the longer term. Secondly, to understand the business culture on how they orientate themselves for sustainable growth. And obviously, I mean with that, you have to have conviction about the quality of that management team.
Yeah.
And the third one, and this is one of those big tests that give you that assurance, is that we confine ourselves to proven businesses that already have a good return on invested capital, have a good operating margin, and have got a strong balance sheet. But by implication, a proven business has less risk than an unproven one.
Yeah.
And then lastly, and kind of all builds up to this point, is you have to have good free cash flow in that business. And we all know free cash flow is all that we as shareholders can claim from a business, nothing else. And if there isn't good free cash flow, it's actually quite difficult to value that business. But clearly, if you combine these four aspects, that should give you the assurance to judge the quality of a business.
I like that. And you preface it by saying there, in a sense, intuitive, although the struggle is always with ourselves and sticking to our knitting and staying with it. But you mentioned some stocks in the note you put out. It's Alphabet's, Amazon's, ASML, and Microsoft. Those will be stocks my listeners know. Candence Design Systems and an insurance broker, Arthur J. Gallagher and Co. And certainly those tech stocks, the Alphabet's. I mean, Alphabet's had a phenomenal year. They've proven that they can do it. They've got the management team. They generate cash hand over fist.
Yeah. Absolutely. Those names are very dominant in this proverbial digital revolution that we're in, or some call it the fourth industrial revolution. And clearly, you need particular expertise in electronic engineering, and especially now with artificial intelligence. It is very capital intensive, apart from the particular expertise that you need. The question is whether your business is generating the free cash flow to cover that heavy capital expenditures. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, those type of businesses that we hold in the portfolio, we've worked out that over time, that their capital expenditure, after they've spent the capital expenditure, the free cash flow that remains is 1.5 times more than what the capital expenditure was.
Yeah.
And that's part of a proven business. It has that free cash flow. And along with that, also companies outside of the digital revolution, companies like L'Oreal and Visa. I mean, these are really global, well-proven, growing, cash-generative businesses that you just know the quality that you have in that, and that you've got less risk of being let down and not over time getting a reasonable return on them.
Yeah, and it comes back to the provenness of it. That brings me to my last question then. Is this then I don't want to say the death of, but it puts a significant dent in the value investing theme, particularly in a low growth environment. If we're going to see a probably higher inflation than we've seen in the last decade or two, and I'm talking developed markets, and we've got that lower growth, suddenly these value stocks are perhaps less attractive because they can't grow, and then all they really offer us is dividend yield.
Yeah, exactly that. We are optimistic investors, but we're also very realistic. We have to look for the growth in a very dull global economic environment.
Yeah.
And obviously, we've referred to a few examples, but the real challenge that many so-called value stocks have is that they don't have that organic growth. They've got the cost of high inflation, but not the growth in, call it, the number of units that they sell. And then the investor hasn't got the conviction of getting the capital growth from that business. These value stocks have reasonable dividend yields, but that dividend is taxable. You also have to take that income tax rate off it. But clearly you have more risk, in my view, on trying to find a good investment amongst those low growth, higher yielding stocks, because we haven't got the conviction of good economic growth providing the organic growth for them.
And you make a great point there. Of course, every year they throw a dividend at you. And then, of course, Treasury wants their slice of it and your growth is actually reduced as opposed to the capital compounding. We'll leave it there, Gerrit Smit. Stonehage Fleming, UK Head of Equity Management. Appreciate the time.
Our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter is just around that. Are you prepared to pay up for quality? In truth, we want to buy shares as cheaply as possible, but some stocks just are never cheap because they are quality. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanley Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Some thoughts for me on markets being forward-looking and what surprises them. And I think Mr. Price yesterday was a good example. I mean, the stock opened up some 5%. We had been expecting some good numbers, but there were bits in there that were better than we thought. And I think a large part of that was really around the market share gains, as Mia Krichler mentioned. That's a big story. It's what we've seen from ShopRite as well. So the market's looking forward. We had an expectation, and things came out a little bit better than the expectation. You will sometimes see an excellent set of results and the share price does nothing because the market says, well, that's what we expected. That's what we are thinking is going to happen. But then we sort of recalibrate our thinking and now we need to relook another year forward. And what Mr. Price, they did their results out. Market really liked it. And then the came quite far back. I mean, it was up 6% at one point and closed the day red. Why? Now, I don't pretend to fully understand all the ins and outs of individual investors, but in this case, Mr. Price had done their presentation. And I suspect that what they were talking around in the presentation maybe made some investors recalibrate their expectations for the year ahead and therefore sort of pull back those expectations. And then we saw Mr. Price go from plus 6% down to negative ultimately on the day. Not by a lot, but certainly a little bit down. Of course, at the end of the day, it's a tug of war. We'll find out who's right in a year's time, I suppose. But it is that expectation versus reality. That is always that contest within the market. That's it for today. We were chatting with Pirkley Ruytenhuis yesterday from Herenia Capital Advisors, talking US inflation and the dot plot that now indicates only one rate cut for the year. There are some on the dot plot who are saying two, but the majority of members of the FOMC, and there are 15 of them, are saying only one cut this year. And we asked you if markets should be worried. Just over 40% said yes, only one cut. Rates are hurting. This is bad. A third said no. no, all will be fine. The rest said, nope, you know what? They're going to be cutting more. What they're saying now, ultimately, we will get more rate cuts. Petri made the point, of course, around recession. And that is the juggle that, that Jerome Powell and his team have. Things are strong now, but if you hold it too long, well, then things get suddenly ugly. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast, just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us an excellent rating and a 5-star review in your podcatcher of choice. We will chat again Tuesday. Enjoy the long weekend.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.